Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome. Well, today I'm talking with two women who've defined their own career path. Coming up in the second half of today's show, I'll talk with New York Times bestselling fiction author Jennifer Haig. Now, Jennifer has joined us before, but she has a new book out. It's a collection of interconnected short stories, and it's inspired by a small town and the people who call it home. She's a fabulous writer. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She's won the Penn Hemingway Award. She's been described as a modern, her books have been described as a modern classic. So I'm looking forward to talking with Jennifer again, finding out what she's up to these days. And first, we're going to talk with Mary Somerset. She's an author, speaker, and certified professional coach. She works with executives and teams from a variety of industries. And she draws on her background in marketing and strategic partnerships to help clients discover their strengths and move forward. And she lives and works just down the road in Portland, Oregon. Mary Somerset, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Vicki.
Well, I want to just say that you've written this book with Jean Stahl. The book is called Letting Go for Fun and Profit, How Advances in Neuroscience Inspired Change. And let me just tell listeners a little bit about Jean since we introduced you. Jean has 25 years of experience in public health, as well as speaking on wellness issues. Her work includes smoking cessation campaigns, anger management, and other modalities. And unlike you, Jean lives in St. Paul, Minnesota. So how did you guys get together?
Well, actually, we're sisters.
So, that explains
a lot. When I had the idea for this book, I said, oh, I really want Jean to be involved, too, because she has a wealth of knowledge, and it's just fun to work together with her.
Okay, well, good. And where did you come up with the idea for this book?
Well, I am a change agent in all aspects of my work. I end up helping people through change. And I just got interested in neuroscience, and I thought, gosh, you know, I'm reading technical books and scientific journals and academic books, and I think there needs to be a book for the rest of us. So we intentionally made it short and available and accessible. So if people want to go deeper into the subject, there's all kinds of links and other things they can get to it. But if they want the core message of neuroplasticity and how that really makes change easier than we ever thought it was, then this would be the way to go. So we had a lot of fun writing it and doing the research and really coming up with all kinds of fun activities that people could try out and mm-hmm. all of that. So it's the kind of book that you could pick up anytime you're feeling a little down and try one of the activities. And I've tried this myself. If ever I'm feeling down, I reread the book and I feel instantly better. So I know it works.
Isn't that great when you can get lifted by your own work?
Yes.
I thought of putting together a series of goofs that I make, and then when I'm feeling down, I can listen to those. This makes me laugh, cracks me up. But yes, neuroscience is such a fascinating field, and it's such a great time, I think. I talk with many neuroscientists and many Harvard professors on that subject, and it's just such an exciting time for them to be in that field, I think, because we're discovering new things all the time.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this, because you say you describe yourself as a change agent, and I read that you took your background in developing marketing and strategic partnerships, and you applied it to this. How so?
Well, I was working at a major software company, and the whole company had to move from selling software packages to selling software solutions. So I worked for the chief technology officer of the company, and so we got together and said, okay, how can we do this? And it was really changing the mindset of all the different VPs all over the world who were in charge of their departments or their divisions. And it worked. so I really love doing that. I really love putting things out there. Like, for example, we got all the VPs together, and nobody could decide on the name. And I said, well, let's just call it Project X so that we can go forward. Right. And everybody said, oh, okay, that works. You know, so sometimes it's a really simple solution to something that sometimes if we just name it the wrong name, we might be stuck with it for years. But if you can get past that part and go forward, then the change is much easier.
Mm. And you specialize in particular in letting go, in overcoming resistance. So what was it about letting go that interested you so much?
Well, I think I feel there's a certain urgency in the world at this moment, that there are many big changes going on around us. And so the idea of being stuck and holding on to the past is not serving us anymore. So the idea that you're really what exists is the present. So if you stay in the present and you let go of the past, then lots of things can happen. You can even open new doors and see where you're going and what you've always wanted to do and all of that. So I was inspired by the concept of letting go because it's worked so well in my own life.
Right. And the book is called Letting Go for Fun and Profit. And as you say, in something I read, you don't normally associate letting go with fun and profit. It's letting go for peace of mind, usually. Letting go so you can move on. How did you come up with that title and why does it apply?
Well, if you truly let go of something and you've had this obstacle, you know, been carrying around on your back and you let it go, you feel a certain lightness and that is fun. And the profit part, to profit really means to move forward. So to find more prosperity in your life and to really feel the richness of your life. So it is fun and it is profitable. And then we decided to, in the book, each chapter starts out with a funny or wise quotation, which, you know, lightens the whole aspect of what we're doing. Like, for example, we have a chapter on unemployment and other hiccups in life. And we start out with a quotation from George O'Keefe, who says, I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, and I've never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do.
Right.
You know, which is great. And, you know, the idea that you can reinvent yourself, like we talked to this woman, or got this quotation, we're talking about forgiveness and low blood pressure. You know, what is forgiveness and how can that help you? And our quotation is, you can't turn back the clock, but you can wind it up again.
I like that.
You know, so we did fun. We tried to make the book fun, and we told it in a slightly irreverent tone. So it's not an academic tone or a scientific tone. It's really just, we try to have fun with it.
Yeah. And I think if you can, as you know, Georgia O'Keeffe said, she was terrified her whole life and she never let it stop her doing. I can remember I went zip wiring in the Sierra Madres once and the trees were so tall. We were, it was not a small zip wire and it just went on for a long, long time. Several of these stages, we zip wired from one tree to another and then another to another in the Sierra Madres. And somebody said to me afterwards, oh, obviously you're not afraid of heights. And I went, I am terrified of heights. but I found a lot of people I was doing it with were also terrified of heights. But it gives you a good feeling that you've overcome that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you had another guest on an earlier program who talked about fear and about how much of it is just stored in our bodies. So we have a chapter on, you know, eat or be eaten.
Right, right.
You know, and keep moving. We have a couple chapters on that. And we say, look, if exercise, the word exercise is upsetting to you, then change the word. Make it keep moving. I'll just keep moving instead of just sitting here. I'm not going to exercise. I'm just going to get up and move around the room.
Right.
I'm going to swing my arms around. I'm going to put on some music and dance. That's a completely different a reality, but it's the same thing, right?
It is, yeah. You say that many neuroscientists agree that it takes just 2 to 3 months of training the brain for us to make changes. And I want to go deeper into this when we come back. We're going to take a very quick break.
Sure.
But I want to just share before we go. Last week we had Mimi Pettibone on the Dream Detective, and she was talking with a listener called Lily. And Lily, if you are listening today, Mimi would like to offer you a free consultation on the dream that we were talking about. You know, we didn't have much time on air, and she'd love to offer you a full free consultation if you'd like to take advantage of that. And you can find her at thedreamdetective.com, or you can email me at info@conversationslive, and I'll put you in touch with her. And, you know, just as an FYI, Mary, my guest we're talking with right now, Mary Somerset, said that letting go can help us feel, fun. It can help us feel lighter. And I had a dream analysis with Mimi at the weekend, and I felt lighter after I'd let that dream go. So there you go, Mary. Just a proof in point there. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Mary Somerset. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Well, just a quick announcement here, because I announced Jennifer Haig was going to be with us in the second part of the show. And we just heard from her. She got held up at the airport and is not able to join us today. So we'll have to get that rescheduled. But we are talking with Mary Somerset. Mary Somerset is an author, speaker, and certified professional coach. And together with Jean Stoll, she has written a new book, and that is called Letting Go for Fun and Profit, How Advances in Neuroscience Inspire Change. And I think half the battle in making change is just understanding that it's difficult.
Yes.
Would you agree with that, Mary? Because I think so many people get stuck in the, it's so hard, I can't do it. And if we just recognize, you know what, it is tough to make change, or it's as easy as we decide it to make it. So talk to us a little bit about why most people get stuck in that I can't make change phase.
Well, the way the brain is wired is that if we keep telling ourselves the same story every day, then we're actually creating neural pathways to confirm that. So in order to change that story, if you've been telling yourself the same story, I can't do it, I can't do it, for 20 years, it's going to be a real change for you to think differently. But actually, even just thinking thoughts like, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it, it reminds me of that children's story, you know, the little engine that could, because it's really how the brain works. I mean, we can, if we change our story, we just change the thought, we can reactivate long dormant circuitry in our brains. Like, you know, if you ever learned how to ride a bike, you can ride a bike again, that sort of idea.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I know back in my past, I mean, if I have all these doubts about myself, where did those doubts come from? I mean, I wasn't born with those doubts. So somewhere along the line, we picked those up. So the idea is that, yes, you've had this thought for a long time that you can't do it, but now you're going to change your intention. You're going to now say, I intend to say, I can do this. And it takes practice, and that's really what they're telling us, these neuroscientists, that the brain requires the focus. So you have to say this on a regular basis. So if you set your intention to say, I can do it, and then you put your attention on it, meaning whenever the old tapes come up that say, I can't do it, you recognize them, but you don't give them any energy. You put them aside and you repeat, I can do it. And that's what happens over 2 or 3 months. You're creating new circuitry in your brain. And then you're actually, and this is the part that got me to really do the study on this, is that you can rewire the circuitry. So even if parts of your brain, you know, that were used for one purpose are now being used for something else, the brain will adapt and use those circuits. And that's what they're doing with, you know, people who have to learn how to use a new limb or,
right.
or you know, with PTSD, people who just don't want to put that charge there anymore on those past emotions.
Right. And, you know, I always go back to this as well when I'm in a fearful place and, you know, jumping out of an airplane, for example. I was having a fun time with my friend up there in this cargo plane. And all of a sudden, this guy that hitched a ride with us threw up the gate to the side gate to the airplane, and all this Arctic air blew in. And he just stepped out like he was stepping off a bus onto the street. And I just nearly had a heart attack.
Wow.
And I had a moment of panic where I thought, I can't do this. Turn the plane around. I want to go home. And then I just filled my head with, I can do this. I can do this, over and over and over again until I was out of the door.
Yes.
Because the brain can only hold one thought at a time. We know that.
Yes. I had a good friend who did that, and they took a picture of her, and it was total fear as she's, you know, dropping back. But afterwards, when she did it, the sense of accomplishment was so overwhelmingly positive. She went on to do very great things in her life, you know. So it really is overcoming these fears. Not that everyone has to jump out of an airplane.
Right, right. But I think we all need kind of a milestone to remember like that. Because for me, what that did was, and I had a blast coming down. The second I left the airplane, I just had a blast. I had a videographer come down with me, and I'm just like grinning from ear to ear the whole time we came down. But what it did for me was, first of all, it gives you this most incredible adrenaline boost that lasts about a week.
Right.
But every time something is challenging in my life now, I think, just remember how terrified you were in that plane and how you really wanted to scream, stop the plane, you know, I'm not doing it. And yet you overcame it. And it was such an exhilarating experience that I think we all need those kind of milestones in life. Would you agree?
Yes. I mean, and that could be very different for different people.
I mean,
some people
yeah.
just speaking their own voice to someone, you know, is a milestone. Being able to really understand and own their voice instead of just being, well, okay, yes, okay, yes, okay, yes. You know, it's like, yes, but actually what I really want is being able to say what you want, what you truly want. That can be a real milestone for a lot of people.
Right. Now, you specialize in playing to our strengths. Why do you focus on playing to our strengths? Because some people would argue we need to work on our weaknesses. Others would say, forget it, just play to your strengths.
Well, I think millions of dollars have been spent on trying to fix people's weaknesses in business. And if you look at some of the evidence on playing to your strengths, if you take a team of people and you analyze what their strengths are and then you put them in the right place, you know, that old expression of, you know, get the right people on the bus to begin with, but then make sure they're in the right seat. You know, so you have a team and you look at the team and you say, okay, well, this person's very good at personal relationships and building relationships. Great. This person over here is very good at the technical details. This other person is terrific at follow through and making sure all of the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So you start to put the team people together based on their strengths. And typically, we love to do what we're good at. So then you have the added benefit of people not only being more effective, but also loving what they do. And that adds a whole other dimension to it. And it's remarkable. You can see in a team, like I've done this with a company, and there'll be one person who has amazing talents that have never been tapped. So it's like once you know what those talents are, you know, that person can be brought into the fold and be asked to do more things, making both the employer and the employee happy.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about how we do let go, how we start to some of the strategies that you help people with. What's the most common challenge that you see when you work with people, Mary?
Well, I think we have a chapter in the book on anger management, and anger, of course, is on a big continuum, right? Some people get very angry, and some people almost never get angry, but there is something that we dig in our heels about that we don't want to change. We are convinced, or we have convinced ourselves, that we're not capable of doing something, or that that's not who we are, or that's not. And then, as a coach, what we do is really draw people out. We don't tell them anything what to do. We just ask them, you know, we know that they have the answers inside of them, and so we ask questions to draw them out over time. What is it that you really want, and how can you position yourself to get it? And that is really the hope that people have. You know, I don't think most people don't come to a coach or read a book like this or listen to your show, for that matter, who don't want to make a change in some way,
right,
who want to better their lives. So if you truly want to better your life, then you have set that intention again, and then all your attention goes to it, and you try to relax and dance around or get exercise or laugh or be surrounded by lovely people. You know, all those things count in making a change.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Mary Somerset, and her book is called Letting Go for Fun and Profit, How Advances in Neuroscience Inspire Change, and she wrote that with Jean Stahl. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, and we'll be right back.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Coming soon on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Find out what drives us to compete when we talk to number one New York Times bestselling author Poe Bronson about his new book, Top Dog. And watch out, guys, when we explore how to unleash the power of the female brain with one of the world's leading brain experts, Dr. Daniel G. Amen. We'll also tell you what you need to know about shingles and if you can avoid becoming one of the million Americans who succumb to this painful condition every year. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for details and more than 200 archived podcasts.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
My entire chest.
Shortness of breath.
Very fatigued.
Nauseated. Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy, I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body, go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m.
And welcome back, everyone. We are talking in this segment with Mary Somerset. She's an author, speaker, and certified coach, and the author of Letting Go for Fun and Profit. And we're talking about neuroscience and how it can help inspire change. And Mary, you had said in the book, I think it was in the introduction, that you'd had three major resistances in your life, one of which was life-threatening. I know it was on a video I watched of you, that's right. Would you tell me about, tell me and our listeners about one of those major resistances and how you, how it was affecting you, how it was stopping you from moving forward and how you ultimately turned it around?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. I had a house with a friend, and we were going along, and then I had a death in the family, and sometimes that happens, that that shows a light on your relationship, and that just wasn't working, and I had to leave, but I had, it was my house to begin with, so I talked to someone about this, because I had a lot of things happening at the same time, you know, people very close to me dying and this relationship ending and losing my house. And so I talked to a therapist about it, and I said, well, I don't really know that there's anything that you can do to help me, but I just think this is a wise thing to do. And she said, well, actually, what you could do is have a ritual around your house and just find all the little things that you want to do there, but create a ritual. So there was a creek that ran behind the house, so I picked leaves from all my favorite specimen trees in the yard and little notes and things like that. And I built a little boat and I set it on fire and I sent it down that little creek. And in that moment, I was able to let go of the house, the relationship, everything. And I walked away from that experience clean. I really felt like, okay, good. And I never thought about that house again. You know, it was just like part of my past that was over. And that approach, doing it that way, has made a huge difference in my life. So whenever I come up to some difficulty now, I employ that same idea. Or, you know, I could go on, but the idea is that if we do let go, there are immediate benefits.
Right. And tell me what kind of changes in your life you saw after you'd let go, whether they were personal or actual physical changes. I mean, what kind of changes did you experience?
Well, I think serendipity started entering my life. Like, for example, I had to find a place to live. So I was walking down the street with a friend in her neighborhood, and there was a for rent sign, you know, in this beautiful building. And I said, oh, well, this looks like a nice place. And so we walked in, and someone else was there, but the person who owned the house said, no, we wanted to rent it to you. And it was just so serendipitous that I was just in that neighborhood walking down that street, and immediately I had a very nice place to live. So I really think that if you, once you let go, you open yourself up to new experiences that you can't even imagine now.
Right, right. And you talk about embracing the new you in the book. One of the chapters is Embrace the New You. Talk a little bit about how you see people, clients that you work with, embrace themselves. How do you encourage them to do that?
Well, what I find often is that we're so busy in life, you know, we're so fragmented, there's so much news coming at us all the time, that we rarely take the time to go inside and figure out what is going on. So that's what I really encourage with people. And you can do that with coaching, you can do that with a number of things. But the idea is to find some time for yourself with the help of someone else if you want that.
Mm.
And then really sit with what it is you really want. I mean, sometimes I'm coaching people in companies, and what they really want is to not be in that company. And, you know, but they've never said that out loud. Now, is it good for the company to have an employee who's not really there?
No.
No, it isn't. Is it good for the employee to be there when he doesn't really want to be there? No,
Liz.
It isn't. So really getting to the place of understanding what is it you want, that can make all the difference. And then you can set your intention really clearly, and then you can start the process of this 2 to 3 months of really working on what is it that you want and go forward with that. And I've seen amazing transformations of people from that situation. So it does work. This is the thing that I love about this, is we're not making this stuff up.
Right.
This is really true.
Yeah. Oh, I think I think neuroscience is absolutely fascinating. If I was going to be a scientist, that's what I'd want to be.
Yes, me too.
Well, I thank you so much for being with us today. What would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I'd like to leave your listeners with the idea that change is much more possible, much easier than you ever thought it was, and that it really is true that with the way the brain works, that you can make the change you want in the next 2 to 3 months with focus of intention, with attention, and by relaxing.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. And please tell listeners where they can find out more about you and the work you're doing, Mary.
Sure. Well, Amazon has the book. You can Google Letting Go for Fun and Profit. And I have a blog called Embrace Change, Find Joy. You can find that by Googling it. We're also, Elliott Bay Online has our book, and Barnes & Noble, it's out there, and we really hope you have a chance to get it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And the book, again, is called Letting Go for Fun and Profit, How Advances in Neuroscience Inspire Change by Mary Somerset and Jean Stahl, who happens to be her sister. Thanks for being with us. And please
have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Please do stay with us, everyone. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about the brain from the female perspective. We're going to talk with a clinical neuroscientist, psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL. Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW-IMHO. Copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Nell's Healing Ministry, we cover the world of animals. This week, February 24th, it's the last Sunday of the month, and that means it's Shelter, Rescue Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check on the birds in Bellingham at Mollywood Avian Sanctuary and the horses in Marysville at All Breed Equine Rescue, plus a couple of new interviews, all on Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Coming soon on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Find out what drives us to compete when we talk to number one New York Times bestselling author Poe Bronson about his new book, Top Dog. And watch out, guys, when we explore how to unleash the power of the female brain with one of the world's leading brain experts, Dr. Daniel G. Amen. We'll also tell you what you need to know about shingles and if you can avoid becoming one of the million Americans who succumb to this painful condition every year. Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for details and more than 200 archived podcasts.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started.
My entire chest.
Shortness of breath.
Very fatigued.
Nauseated.
Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack.
I'm healthy, I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart, no way.
Heart disease doesn't discriminate.
Listen to your body, go get checked.
Heart disease is the number one killer in women.
And this is something that we can fight.
Visit goredforwomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio, Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Well, as I announced at the start of the show, we were going to talk with Jennifer Haig today. Unfortunately, she got stuck, her plane got delayed, and she's stuck at the airport, and things just weren't going to work out for today. So we'll reschedule that. Luckily, I did an interview last week with Dr. Daniel Amen. You might have seen him on PBS quite a bit doing work on the brain. And he has a new book out, and it's about the female brain. So it kind of follows on very well to what we were just talking about, the plasticity of the brain and how to create change. And Dr. Daniel Amen's new book is called Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. And he believes brain scans, not hours talking on the psychiatrist's couch, can help cure depression, anxiety, and a host of mental problems. Some of his peers think he's out of his mind, and I did kind of ask him about that in this interview. So let me just tell you, let me give him a little more official introduction here, and then we'll bring on the interview that I recorded with him last week. It's the first time that we're bringing it to the show, though. So Dr. Daniel G. Amen is a clinical neuroscientist, psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert. He heads the world-renowned Amen Clinics. He's published over 30 books, including the 5 New York Times bestsellers, Use Your Brain to Change Your Age, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, Magnificent Mind at Any Age, and Change Your Brain, Change Your Body. And he's obviously a highly sought-after speaker, somewhat controversial, as I said, but, you know, a lot of what he talks about makes real sense to me. And his book is called Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. And here's that recording. Okay, I read that you said now more than ever we need thoughtful, intelligent, powerful, brain-smart women to guide and redirect our families. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, what we discovered is that it really is females who change their environment. If the mother gets healthy, the kids tend to be healthier. The husband tends to be healthier. If mom is not healthy, things are not as well at home. We did a very large health program at one of the largest churches in the world, Saddleback Church. And what we found was that 85% of the people who signed up for the program were women. And when they got healthy, it just influenced everyone in their life. And it seems in the last 20 years, male longevity has gone up 5 years. Female longevity's only gone up 2.5. That women are sicker now than they've ever been. Obesity, diabetes, hypertension, cancer. And it's because of our lifestyle. So I wrote this book, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain, specifically to optimize a woman's brain and her life so that she would be the leader in changing our society.
Right. And you are surrounded by women. I was like staggered the amount of women you have just in your family. You say your mother is the most powerful woman that you know. How has that influenced your work?
Well, my mother's very powerful, but she's the mother of 7 children, was a champion golfer for decades. And if I just took her on a trip. So I said, what do you want for your 80th birthday? I was going to Hong Kong to speak. She said, well, I want to take you with me. And I'm like, okay. And while we were there, by herself for 3 days, she took a trip to Manila to go visit one of her friends in the Philippines. And I'm just like totally blown away by this. But not only do I have a powerful mother, I have 5 highly successful sisters, 3 daughters, 2 granddaughters, and 14 nieces. There is estrogen everywhere I look.
I loved in the book you shared, I think on the website actually, that you and your brother actually ran away for a little while when one of your baby sisters came home from the hospital.
Well, we warned my mother ahead of time. We said, you bring home another girl, we're leaving. And she did. She brought home my 5th sister, Joanne, and my older brother, Jimmy, and I ran away. Now, it was only for 45 minutes because my mom's a great cook. So I have been tortured by this issue. But, you know, another thing that really prompted me to write this book was we finished a study on 46,000 brain scans. So at the Amen Clinics, we do brain spect imaging. It looks at blood flow and activity, looks at how your brain works. And the differences between the male and female brain were just striking. And most people don't know that. You know, they go, well, maybe maybe there's a difference. There's an incredibly significant difference. And it helps understand some of the strengths and vulnerabilities of the female brain.
Right. So let's talk about some of those differences and why they're so significant. One of the things that struck me, you know, we're told all the time, stop worrying. You said, you know, a little appropriate worry is okay. It's probably better for you than no worry at all.
Right. You know, it's been discovered that the don't worry, be happy people, more often men on motorcycles, die earlier than everybody else of accidents and preventable illnesses. So having a little worry is very important. Now, what we discovered in our imaging study was that females have highly significant more activity in their prefrontal cortex, so that's the front third of their brain, and in their emotional brain. Now, the prefrontal cortex is involved with things like judgment, impulse control, organization, planning, forethought, learning from the mistakes that you make. And it gives females some very special strengths like empathy, intuition, collaboration, self-control, and what you talked about, a little bit of worry, because a little bit of worry keeps you on track. Unfortunately, this increased activity also makes women more vulnerable to anxiety, depression, which they have twice as much as men, insomnia, eating disorders, and pain. And so understanding the strengths, women should be in much more leadership positions because, you know, we actually call the front part of the brain the executive part of the brain. It's called the CEO of the brain, and women often make great CEOs because of empathy, intuition, collaboration, self-control, and the ability to worry in an appropriate way where they see the future with some anxiety. It's very important for a leader to do. So it's to optimize their strengths and to work on their vulnerabilities. In the book, there's a whole chapter on depression.
Right.
There's a whole chapter on feeding the female brain, another one on hormones for the female brain. So getting their brain optimized allows them to be the best they can be, because I just know they are the lever person in the family. They actually pull the lever for health for a lot of other people.
Right. So let's look a little at how we do start to unleash the power of the brain. And the first thing you say we have to do is fall in love with our brain. Not the sexiest organ, not something you think about falling in love with, but obviously very important based on the work that you do.
Well, I think it's the sexiest organ because it seems, you know, 50% of it's dedicated to vision. And it feels and it loves and it drives you with passion. When your brain works right, you work right. But you're right, nobody cares about their brain. You know, we care more about our bellies and our butts than we do our brain, which is really crazy when you think about it, because your brain controls everything. So step number one is develop brain envy. You have to care about your brain. And when you care about it, then getting well is not something you should do. It's something you want to do, even something you have to do. You know, I like to say, if you had a $1 million racehorse, would you ever feed it junk food? Of course not, only if you were stupid. But, you know, you are worth so much more. But yet, you know, you really don't give a second thought about putting it under too much stress, giving it sleep deprivation or terrible food. And love is important. And then after love comes, you have to avoid things that hurt it. I mean, that sort of makes sense, right? Drugs, alcohol, brain injuries. But there are a lot of things that hurt the brain that most people have no clue about. For example, if you have a high blood sugar level, it shrinks your brain. If you have high blood pressure, it shrinks your brain. If you don't sleep 7 hours at night, you have lower overall blood flow to the brain. If you're overweight, there are 100 studies now that say as your weight goes up, the size of your brain goes down. So, you know, once you fall in love with it, then you learn, okay, well, these things hurt it. And then the last thing is, well, what do you do to help it? So a great diet. That's why there's a whole chapter on feeding the female brain. There's even a section in there on how to eat to control your mood and your focus and anxiety level. So certain foods have certain benefits for brain function.
Mm. Now, if people follow your advice in the book, you just mentioned that certain conditions can shrink the brain, such as high blood sugar, high blood pressure. Is that repairable?
Well, that's the most exciting thing to talk about, is you can make your brain better, and I can prove it. Actually, at the AMM clinics, we have 6 clinics around the country, one actually in Bellevue, we performed the world's largest study on active and retired NFL players. And what we discovered was they almost all had brain damage from multiple concussions. You can't get to the NFL without having hit your head thousands of times. But we took those damaged brains and rehabilitated them, and 80% of the time we could demonstrate significant improvement, blood flow, and cognitive function. You are not stuck with the brain you have. You can make it better, but you have to be serious about it. You know, so many people want, you know, give me the quick fix. And it's like, no, you have to fall in love, and then you have to act in a consistent way over time.
Right. You talk about natural treatments that we can use to overcome some typical female brain vulnerabilities, such as depression, perfectionism, eating disorders, anxiety. What would they be? Give me a couple of examples.
Well, so for example, if you're a worrier, if you can't let things go, if you get the same thought in your head over and over again, and you tend to be anxious and depressed, well, it's usually due to low levels of serotonin. And you can raise it naturally with exercise, smart carbohydrates, and certain supplements like 5-HTP, inositol, saffron, which is so interesting. And it's like they're natural. They tend not to have any side effects. But you want to get it targeted to your brain type. So in the book, I actually tell people where they can go on our site to take a test to figure out, well, what would my brain look like? What kind of type of brain would I have so that I can target the treatment specifically to my issues as opposed to, well, I'm depressed.
Right. And you share 12 one-hour exercises to put these brain healthy principles into our life. Would you give us one of those exercises?
Well, you know, one of my favorite ones is something I call anchored images. So the brain is 50% visual. You want to have a visual representation of why you have to get healthy. And so my anchor image happens to be my 2-year-old granddaughter, Emmy, who has a really wicked seizure disorder. And, you know, so I have these great pictures of Emmy, and they're in the book, on my computer, because it just reminds me immediately why I need to make a good decision. So the cookies that, you know, if you go to a hotel room and they give you cookies, mm-hmm. immediately just throw them away. I mean, why would you give them to the homeless person and hurt the homeless person? But, you know, immediately you just throw them away because I'm thinking, are the cookies more important than my brain health? Because if my brain is right, then Emmy is likely to be so much better.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right, right. In the last chapter of the book, Dr. Amon, you talk a lot about it's not just about us, it's about the next generation and the generation after that. Talk about that a little, if you would.
Well, it's actually very frightening when you understand the research. There's a new version of genetics that has just grown up over the last 10 years called epigenetics. And what that means is that my behavior changes my genes and actually changes my children's vulnerability. So, you know, it's like, this is America. I can eat anything I want. It's a free country. And it's like, but it's not just about you. It really is about generations of you. And we know, for example, that boys who smoke between the ages of 10 and 12 just increase their children's risk of being obese. Mothers who have a bad diet, even before they're pregnant, tend to raise children that have a higher incidence of diabetes, obesity, hypertension. So getting yourself well is a sign of love, but love not just for you, but for generations of you.
Right. Exciting times for neuroscientists, because there are all these, it's a constant state of discovery, but there are critics out there who, especially on the psychiatric side of things, who say, you know, maybe brain imaging isn't everything and we still need to have a balance. What are your viewpoints on that?
Well, you know, psychiatry remains the only medical specialty that never looks at the organ they treat. I've been after my colleagues for 20 years. It's like, stop that. We have technology today that can be helpful. Now, it's not the answer. It's part of the answer. But we make psychiatric diagnoses today like they did in 1840 when Lincoln was depressed. They talked to him, looked at him, and then prescribed treatment. Exactly what happens in the Northwest today. You can try and kill yourself in Seattle, and virtually no one outside of the Amon Clinic in Belleville will look at your brain. That's wrong. And it's going to change. I mean, 50 years from now, the argument we're having, should you use brain imaging or not, is going to completely go away, because they're totally going to do it in the future. And, you know, even powerful academic centers are going, brain imaging is the future. Of course it is. How do you know unless you look?
Right. Well, the book is called Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. Very interesting stuff in there. If people heard nothing else today, Dr. Amon, what do you want them to take away with them?
Your brain matters. You can make it better. I can prove it. And this book will be your roadmap to do it.
All right. I thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And welcome back, everyone. That was Dr. Daniel Amon. You may have seen him on those PBS specials that they have when they're running pledge drives. His new book, Unleash the Power of the Female Brain. You can find out more about him at amonclinics.com and unleashthefemalebrain.com. And he's not without his critics, as I said during the interview. There was an article in the London Telegraph. And he was asked about the criticism from the American Psychiatric Association. He's very blunt about, you know, people spending too much time on couches when we can self-resolve many, not all, many issues. And his response was, you know, one reason they hate me is because I make money. Hey, I thought this was America. And the other reason they hate me is because no one likes to be told they're wrong. And I'm going further. I'm saying 98% of my colleagues are performing malpractice. Quite a strong statement there. And he goes on to say that, you know, if he wasn't helping people, he wouldn't keep having people come back and wouldn't be so successful as he has been. And no doubt he has been. All right. So that's that. Make up your own minds. And again, unleashthefemalebrain.com is the website for the book. And I think there's a lot of, you know, really good interesting scientific fact in there. So I want to, just before we run out today, tell you about a online course that I have coming up that I'm really excited about. I love teaching. And I've done this before, and I just haven't done it in a couple of years because I've been so busy. But there are so many mommy bloggers out there, and I'm always asked, you know, how do we get started? Before I get into that, I should say you don't have to be a mommy blogger. If you have a small business or you just have a website and want to have a blog, you know, this course could be for you. And we're going to talk about creating compelling essay content for the web, choosing your platform, finding your niche, finding your voice. That's the most important thing in any kind of blogging aspect. And it's going to be a 4-week course. We're going to look at the anatomy of a successful post, integrating social media, integrating video, photography, interactive content, and using your blog to hopefully find other writing gigs or to find new business for your business. So if you have a website, a small business, or if you just are interested in blogging, call me about the Mommy Blogging course. And I don't have it on my website yet, but we will go up. We will put something up there. That will be coming in April. And you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. I also have one coming up that will start in the latter part of April on SEO advanced search engine optimization. And that's for people who really understand a little bit about SEO and know what they want to do with their business site and take it a little bit further. And that will be coming up. We'll talk about the latest Google changes. There have been a lot of changes lately. So if you're interested in either one of those, especially the mommy blogging, because that comes up first, give me a call. You can find me at 800-495-7617. If you have any questions on today's show or guests, same thing, 800-495-7617. And you can also email me at info@conversationslive.net. And we were going to play Dr. Daniel Amen next week, since we brought him forward to this week to cover for Jennifer Haig, who was stuck at the airport. We may have Jennifer Haig join us next week. But the key subject next week is going to be, we're going to talk about shingles. And I talked to a couple of different doctors to get their take on that. And also a listener will be joining, sharing the story of her father and shingles. So please do join us next week. Look forward to talking with you then. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.